Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, H behind the glass. Brian on-site engineering. Chewy watching anime at the bar. How about that?
Shocker.
Anime. I forget what it is.
But Donna won baseball tickets.
She won already?
She won the Astros ticket.
So she won the Paul giveaway?
She won the Paul Astros tickets.
Nice.
Denise. Yep.
Yeah, we're giving away tickets too. July 11th, Rangers Astros, Section 106. So you know those are very, very good. Anybody who walks into the door gets a raffle ticket, and you're entered into the raffle to win tickets to go see Astros Rangers July 11th. Congratulations, Donna. That's awesome. So we'll see who our winner is. A little silver glove series. That's not what they call it, is it?
Silver boot.
Rice Houston's the silver glove. Silver boot between the Rangers and the Astros. But Drift Bar, awesome time. Stop in here and escape the rain. It is pouring. There's a lot of rain in the air. That's okay. You come into Drift Bar, escape the rain, have some outstanding drinks. All of their vendors are here, I think. If it's not all, it's most. They're handing out free booze. Great time. Lots of people are here. A lot of people that you know, we want you out here as well. Really, really good time.
I love this place. I mean, the fact that, and I'm sure on the weekends it's even better, but when you come in here and you got the inside-outside vibe, and you've got, it's just.
Joe is here. Sorry to interrupt. It looks like he's leaving, and he's wearing Cubs gear.
Because you know where he's going.
He's going to the Astro game?
Yeah, he and Pops are heading to the.
To
support the Cub.
All right, sorry to interrupt you, but I just had to. He was leaving.
No, I was just saying, look, and these guys always treat us so well, but Drift Bar is just the place to be. College football season, it's awesome. They're the home of LSU. They've got all the TVs. They got the big TVs outside. Just a clean, really cool environment to hang out at.
Yeah, it is. Astros completed the sweep yesterday against the Phillies, and we talked about that, so no need to, like, rehash game three. Lots to get to today. You know, today right now is the midway point through the 2025 season, at least for the Houston Astros. So we're going to hand out some midseason awards for the Astros a little bit later. Lots to get to. It is a Friday. Jim DeShays will be joining us, former Astro TV commentator, current Cubs TV commentator, and probably a top seven all-time greatest left-handed starter in Astro history. Another starter for the Astros is doing some really good things. And then the Jeremy Pena discussion is kind of going around, too. We'll get to that a little bit later as well. One thing that caught my attention, though, Blankers, I was just scrolling around on different social media platforms, this morning, right when I woke up. It's my habit. But I noticed that Philly fans are crashing out, that Philly TV commentators are blasting their offense. And this is what the Houston Astros pitching staff does to teams. We understand the pitching machine is awesome that they've been able to establish, and they get these starts from random nobodies, from, you know, the Jamie Moyers of the world, from the George Costanzas of the world. Here was the Phillies post-game show yesterday just crushing their offense.
Brown, someone needed to get a run, or more than one run, certainly.
I mean, more than one run. This was the worst offensive outburst I've seen from the Phillies ever in the three-game series. This was actually kind of pathetic, and it got worse as a series.
There you go. The worst offensive performance ever, he said. Philadelphia's been playing baseball for a long, long time. Worst ever, he said.
I mean, you and I talked about this yesterday, and we talked about it from an Astros perspective. Tell me you're a casual without telling me you're a casual if you're attacking the offense of the Houston Astros, because we respected the fact that the Phillies have really good pitching. They've been red hot. They came in winners of like 9 of 11. And the fact that sometimes you tip your cap and go, hey, good pitching can beat good hitting. But on the flip side, from a Philly perspective, you know their fan base loves to jump off the cliff the first chance they get, and they do it cussing and screaming the whole way down. Not surprising, but it is what it is.
Yeah. So that one was kind of mild, but it is interesting to know that, oh, this is the worst that we've ever had. So, okay, like that's something to pay attention to. Worst ever. But here's this random dude on TikTok that I have no idea why he showed up on my TikTok. I guess it had something to do with the Astros, so like my algorithm fed it to me. He goes by the name Tiny Tino.
Oh, okay.
Tiny Tino is his – I don't know his handle. It's
irrelevant. His shortcomings.
But that's his nickname. That's his alias, his Tiny Tony. Here was Tiny Tony, a Philadelphia Philly fan, crashing out after the Astros pitching staff owned the Phillies.
The cheating Astros just own the Phillies. I'm at the point where I cannot stand watching the Phillies go 3 games and we scored 1 run. Our starters were lights out. They shut down the best offense in baseball. The cheat shows, we shut them down to literally no runs. And guess what? Our offense is non-existent. Kyle Schwarber, you want money? You want money, but all you do is strike out. You think you deserve more money? We are going to let you walk. Alec Boehm, you're going to Taiwan. Hey, Cassie, can we have another World War so you can get a hit? This is pathetic. Yo, we're never going to beat the accusations. We cannot beat the Houston Astros. We just got swept by a poverty franchise. We actually just got swept by a poverty franchise. And now we're tied in first with the Mets. We are now tied in first with the Mets, who we just worked. I can't be a Phillies fan anymore.
This is what the Astros do. They make people outside of Houston question their fandom. The Phillies score 1 run in 3 games. Their TV commentator saying it's the worst offensive output in Philly history. You have Tiny Tony throwing a temper tantrum, and I don't even know where he's going here. He called the Astros one of the best offenses in baseball. Well, that's not exactly accurate. And then he called them a poverty franchise like he forgot the 2022 World Series.
I mean, you're giving up your fandom because of a 3-game series coming off of 9 of 11. Like, slow your roll, big dog. You're not even at the halfway point, and you're willing to throw in the towel and look for a new team. I mean, that's a pretty fair-weather, pathetic fan.
And Tiny Tony.
Yeah, and Tiny Tony on top of it. I'm not sure Tiny Tony's going to find a lot of takers either with that kind of that lack of loyalty to his squad. But, hey, it makes for good fodder.
He called the Astros cheaters, too. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I caught it right at the start.
Yeah, I called them cheaters. They stopped cheating in –
18, yeah.
Early 18 season.
He did actually admit that the Astros owned them, though.
He did admit that,
yeah.
Which I love to hear that part of it. So that was just kind of caught my attention, all these Phillies people that are just giving up on the Philadelphia Phillies because the Houston Astros pitching staff, quite frankly, owns them.
I got a lot of friends from Philly. I need to kind of check in with them because the last time I talked to one of my buddies that's a born and raised Philadelphian, he was texting me during the World Series when I thought the Astros were going to win it before the series started, and basically telling me I'm an idiot, Real Muto's going to win the MVP, Phillies in 5. Remarkably, after the Astros won the series, I didn't hear from him for quite a while.
Really?
Yeah.
So you haven't heard from him since 2022?
Well, I've heard from him since then, subsequently, when he finally did check in. I was like, wonder why it took you so long. He's like, they kind of let me down. I'm like, yeah, they let you down, and in the process, you opened your mouth.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. I watched the we were working yesterday when the Astros were playing, so I went back and I didn't watch the whole game, but I watched the condensed game, and then I watched the post game interviews and stuff like that. This one, Brian Abreu got the walk off treatment. Yeah. You know how Julia interviews like the player of the game or the most important player of the game. Well, yesterday, Brian Abreu faced 4 hitters. He struck out 4 hitters, got the win, slammed the door there in the 9th inning. So Julia interviewed him after the game, and Julia asked him about, like, what is, like, whenever you're asked to get 4 outs, like, what does it mean to you? And here's what Abreu said, talking about picking up his mates.
You know, whenever he called me for 4 outs, he's just one of my friends. He's in trouble. You know, I just have to go come in and try to support him.
Whenever his friend in trouble, he has to come in and support him. Has to pick him up. I love that attitude from a back end of the bullpen guy. My friend in trouble, got to help him out.
I did not expect. Am I mistaken in that Brian Abreu has used an interpreter in the past?
I thought so. Yeah.
Because I was a little surprised he was doing it one-on-one, but I like the fact that he kind of literally just took the bull by the horns and went with it.
I had the same thought too. I feel like I've heard it once or twice before. But, I mean, it is cool to see him do that. Cebu on YouTube, Poverty Franchise, has he seen the banners? No, apparently not. Axe says Philly fans are still waiting for the Yordan Alvarez ball to land. That was turned the game upside down there in the 6th inning of that World Series. Alex is already nominating Tiny. I'm going to leave that out. Tiny Tony for the car wreck of the day. So we'll have to remember that a little bit later. Astros do face the lowly Cubs, who are playing they're playing good baseball right now, but we know that they're going to be completely useless by September. The Astros lineup is out today, by the way. Jimmy Boyer on the mound for the Astros. So Yiner and Walker are in the doghouse here. there's a righty pitching, okay?
Yeah.
So, like, we've seen Myers bat cleanup against lefties. We haven't seen him bat cleanup against righties. Espada's lineup today, Peña, Paredes, Altuve, okay, yep. Normal three.
Right.
Smith is batting cleanup against a righty, okay? Myers fifth, Caratini sixth, DHing. The bottom three, Walker bats seventh, plays first base. Yiner Diaz catches and bats eighth. And then Taylor Trammell is in left field batting ninth. So Yiner down to the eighth spot. He had a big hit yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, and didn't Walker have it? Was it yesterday?
He had a double.
Did he double?
Had a double.
Yeah.
A walk.
Guess it doesn't matter. And I think a little extra maybe, and you always poo-poo this when I say this, but the first game against the Cubs since the trade and Cam in the four spot, maybe a little extra for that.
A little juice for Cam tonight?
Yep. I like it too.
Cam Smith revenge game?
Yeah, I like it a little bit. I like that kind of – if that's a little bit of the kind of Espada, not even gamesmanship, but that's kind of give the kid a little boost going into his first game against his old squad, I like it.
It could be a revenge game for two players on the Astros and two players on the Cubs.
True.
It could be a revenge game for Cam Smith and Isak Paredes, and it could be a revenge game for Ryan Stresley and Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, and you know what? And from a Paredes standpoint, when you look at the numbers from what he came from when he was with Tampa to what he did with the Cubs were highly disappointed at the fact that he just didn't produce. So he could have some extra juice too tonight. I mean, there's a lot of I like the other stories that are involved in this series, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it will be a fun series. A lot of storylines for sure. Probably get Lance McCullers back tomorrow. It's not the best five pitchers you have. It's Jamie Moyer, it's Lance McCullers, and then it's Framber Valdez Sunday.
Yeah, when I looked at it, I mean, the thought is, one, it could have been worse or it could be worse. And then initially it was TBA, and then when it becomes McCullers, it's like, well, okay, as long as it was truly just a foot injury, a toe injury, whatever it was from the weight room, and he's been throwing and keeping his arm loose, I feel better about McCullers right now than I would maybe – even Walter or Gusto, though I like the way or even Gordon, but Gordon had a nice start last game. So I could feel worse about it, but at the same time, yeah, I've got my question marks about Lance first start back. I love Framber as the anchor on the backside, but I don't have a lot of confidence tonight.
Same. It'll be a fun series nonetheless. We'll see who seeks revenge on the other. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Drift Bar in the Heights. Fun time to be had. Escape the rain. Join us here. Day one, Donna's here. Joe's about to leave to watch his Cubs. Dre's here. My arch nemesis, Dre, is in the building. Good to see his face. All the vendors are out here. Chewy's out here. I didn't even see Big C.
Big C.
Big C's
in the house.
He can't hear us, though. He's got the AirPods in. What do you think Big C is doing?
He's listening to us.
Oh, he just gave us a thumbs up.
Yeah, he's listening to us.
Okay. All right.
I like it.
But, a good time to be had. Join us out here. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. Also, later on today, inside a Drift Bar, karaoke with Captain Kevlar. Always fun. They'll have Power Slap on tonight at 8, UFC tomorrow. And anybody who walks into the door, you get a raffle ticket, and we're drawing for a pair of tickets to go watch the Rangers and Astros July 11th between those two teams. That'll be a lot of fun. So get on out here to Drift. Great time on a Friday. Happy hour specials. Great drinks. It's going to be fantastic here until 6 o'clock. When we come back, so we mentioned it's the halfway point of the year, right? So who is the Astros MVP halfway through the season? Who is the Astros Cy Young halfway through the season? We already know Rookie of the Year, so that's not even worth discussion. But those awards, who is the halfway MVP, Cy Young, Reliever of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, we'll discuss next. 713-780-ESPN. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man. Joel Bryan at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are the Killer Bees on ESPN97.5 and ESPN92.5. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, you need to listen up. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer that you're going to go pick up that new or pre-owned vehicle. Why? Because they're the dealer that you can trust. They're transparent. No hassle pricing. You get your car shopping done quick, fast, and easy. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years, and they've helped generations of families get into new and pre-owned vehicles. And these families keep coming back. Why? Because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. Family feel, friendly atmosphere. The culture's fantastic. They hire great people, which just feeds right back into that culture. If you're looking for a spot to buy a new or pre-owned vehicle, Monument Chevrolet is the answer. Get a fair deal, a fast deal, an easy deal without wasting your time. time and aggravating stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, now is the time to do it. Visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com, monumentchevrolet.com, or better yet, just go visit them in person. 225 and Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN. 97.5.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
It's midnight in Houston, and Bob just can't sleep. The AC is broken, and he can't count the sheep. Don't worry, big man. You don't need to scream. We can fix your AC with the help of Air Team. They'll come to your place, fix it up without a trace. Trust the ultimate fan with the paint on his face.
Is your air conditioner not performing at a pro level? Call Air Team, H-Town's HVAC team. The best heating and air conditioning installation services. 713-936-5346 or visit airteamltd.com.
John Granata here with Yanni Damaris from Damaris Barbecue. How many all-you-can-eat ribs can I eat?
As many ribs as you could possibly eat, John. I'm really not worried about you. I would want you to come in and get that.
It's unlimited.
Unlimited. Unlimited. All you can eat.
And you got two different ribs, right?
I do. Baby backs and the spare ribs.
You got the sweet sauce on the baby backs?
The baby backs are sweet and spicy, and they're really, really good.
Damaris Barbecue, two locations. One's on 610 at 18th Street. The other's at Shepherd, just north of West Alabama. Or you can order ahead at Damaris.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Drift Bar in the Heights, Power Slap tonight at 8. They're going to have UFC 317 tomorrow, Lightweight Championship of the World on the line tomorrow. There's your spot to watch it. All day today, you walk in, they're going to hand you a raffle ticket, and you'll be registered to win the raffle for Rangers-Astro tickets on July 11th. They're not putting you up in the nosebleeds either. They're putting you in Section 106. But this is your spot any time of the week. Tonight, karaoke with Captain Kevlar. Tomorrow, DJ Bobby Moe. Sunday, fun day. Mimosas are half off. And all their alcohol vendors are out here today. We have a little Patron margarita here. These are called carbless drinks.
Yes.
They're zero calories, zero sugar, zero carbs, and they taste like a juice box.
100 calories of just goodness.
Yeah, it is. It looks, he brought one of each flavor, too.
There you go.
That was very, I tip my cap to him. Yes. Tip my cap. So this is a spot you need to be, whether it's today, whether it's any time. They are, as well, the official headquarters of the LSU Tigers.
Yes, they are.
National champion. LSU Tigers baseball championship.
Let's point out the fact, too, that they hooked us up with gear like we're on their softball team. The fact that we got jerseys and we got these sweet hats. I love this hat we got the last time we were here.
Good looking hat.
Cowboy Mike, who is all over the place today, that's running this place, takes good care of us, but he keeps it on the ship shape top notch, and it is a fun place to be.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's go out to the HRP listener line. We'll get to the Astros midseason awards when we get to the Astros midseason awards. But Israel's on the line, and he wants to talk about Philly fan. Israel, you're in the Hive. What's up, Israel?
Yeah, I just want to say, man, what's up to you guys? But Philly fans are a little different. And the North Siders are in town. Now, I'm a South Sider. You know what I'm saying? I seen, you know, Harry Carey before he went to the Cubs. My mama. Yeah. Hey. You know Harry.
Check out Israel with a sombrero. Holy cow.
Yeah, but then I took a shower. You know what I mean? He used to have a shower. In the Sox center field. But welcome to the North Siders. My mother and my grandmother, they love the Cubs, man. So welcome to the North Siders. Hopefully, man, we can get 2 out of 3, man, from the North Siders. I'm a South Sider, deep South, man. Like, hey, Jeremy.
Yeah.
I'm a South Sider, like 29th Street, man. Johnny from 29th Street. And the producer, the manager. We just be with Paul. He's from the South Side too, man. So shout out to Chicago. We in the building, but I'm still with the Strolls. Go Cam, Ayo.
Little Go Cam.
All right, Israel.
You had to mention the Go Cam.
Chi-Town hustler trying to clarify which side of town he's from. South Side's a tougher side, from all that I've ever heard.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Like, if you're going to – and I agree that Chicago, like, they produce some tough hombres. Like, mm-hmm. I don't doubt that at all. Like, the history of gangsters, yep, in Chicago, Al Capone. Like, I mean, you can go – I mean, there's a lot of dirt in Chicago, I'm sure. But if you're going to talk about, like, how hard you are, you don't mention you're from the same neighborhood as Joe George.
No.
You kind of omit that. You leave that out.
Well, no, but didn't he say that – Joe George is a North Sider and he's a South Sider?
Is that what he said?
I
have a hard time hearing.
Because he knows that Joe is a big Cubs fan and that's the North Side. And I think he was shoving Joe back to the North Side, saying stay away from us South Siders.
Okay, that makes sense then. Texter, Chicago, nasty city. I actually like Chicago.
I love it, man. I used to love it. It's gotten worse.
I've only been there once and I really enjoyed my time. I really want to go back to. Like, I have nothing bad to say about Chicago. I thought it was an awesome time. Yeah, the crime's bad there probably, but the crime bit's bad every major city. I thought the food was terrific.
Oh, man, awesome.
You can take the train everywhere. Going to Wrigley was awesome. I had a good time in Chicago. I have nothing bad to say about the city.
I totally love the city. Even when we were in high school, when we were looking to go out, we would just drive the hour and a half and go out in Chicago sometimes, because Chicago is a great party town.
Oh, is that close?
Yeah, and three of the four seasons are absolutely phenomenal. The winter, as I tell everybody, whether you're from the suburb of Chicago called Milwaukee or Chicago proper, you don't want to be there in the wintertime. You just don't.
No, it's very, very cold. Rackham Pete says, good old Philly fans. 1, boo Santa. 2, cheered Michael Irvin's neck injury. Trash talked Mattress Mac. I forgot about the trash talking Mattress Mac. They were cussing him out whenever
during
the
series, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
2 players left from 17, and they still call the Astros cheaters. Everybody's going to call the Astros cheaters. That just goes with the territory.
It's never going away.
I've gotten to the point where I'm just numb of it, that it literally doesn't affect me. Like, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, you just have to go numb to it, because you hear about it every turn. No matter what success this team has, no matter how many players have come over that were not anywhere near or a part of the cheating scandal, it's just they're going hand in hand with the blue and the orange for probably the rest of the franchise's history.
Texture, I'm getting confused about the Jamie Moyer. You said it like 3 or 4 times. Now, that's my bad. I should have been a little bit more clear. I call Astro lefty Brandon Walter Jamie Moyer, because they're both light throwers. Yes, Walter throws harder than Jamie Moyer, who, like, lived on a mid-80s fastball. But they're both soft-tossing lefties, and I think that their windup and delivery looks identical. I think they look very similar with how they pitch.
Pussballers.
Yes.
The old schoolers would call them pussballers. Don't normally bring the heat, but they can get the job done.
Yeah, so that's what the reference is. I call Brandon Walter Jamie Moyer because I think their windup's the same. Texture, I hope that they throw Ryan Pressly. Pressly's been pretty good this year, except for like 2 outings.
Yeah, he blew up early and has dialed it back in to where he is being. He's been a lot more effective lately.
Yeah, he's not their closer though. He's pitching late in games, but he's not their closer. So. Texter, Brian Abreu's been on Shin speaking English for a minute, usually on Bases Loaded. I don't think I've ever watched a Bases Loaded episode.
Oh, you know what they did? They did him being a new father. They did a feature on him recently. I saw the promo for it, the commercial, that they were going to do a feature on him being a new father.
I gotcha. All right, let's get to the Astros midseason MVP, Cy Young, all the awards that we need to. Killer Bees broadcasting live, Drift Bar in the Heights. You're looking for something to do today? Get on out here. We'll be here till 6. You can watch Power Slap here tonight, UFC 317 tomorrow, and, of course, Drift Bar is always your weekend spot, your LSU headquarters. And if you come today, you're going to be entered in a raffle to win Ranger Astro tickets on July 11th, Section 106. Killer Bees broadcasting live on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew. Hot Wheels Monster Trucks Live, July 19th and 20th. Tickets at toyotacenter.com.
Oh, and that's a hard foul. Let's listen for the call on the floor.
The taxpayer owes back taxes. Penalties and interest are assessed and wage garnishments to begin immediately.
The IRS never misses that call. I wonder if they will challenge it.
The call is under review.
Priority Tax Relief has been called in for a review. Priority is the best in the business at negotiating your tax debt and has even eliminated the debt for some clients. Priority Tax Relief is saving their clients millions of dollars every month.
After a careful review from Priority Tax Relief, the debt has been eliminated. No foul on the play.
Whoa! That completely changes the game, folks.
If you owe more than $5,000, call Priority Tax Relief, and in minutes, they'll review your case for free with a direct line to the IRS to see if you qualify for life-changing relief. No more worrying about wage garnishments or frozen bank accounts. Call Priority Tax Relief today at 800-577-3407. That's 800-577-3407.
We make your tax relief our priority.
Call now. Priority Tax Relief.
John Granato here with Robin Orlando from Houston Powder Coaters. Robin, you guys are expanding as well.
Yes, we are branching into San Antonio and Austin. So if you have a second house over there, we can come and pick up your items, bring them back to Houston Powder Coaters, and then deliver them back to your second home.
How about that? And your delivery?
It's free in the Houston area. It's going to be $125 for Austin and San Antonio.
That's not bad at all. Call Robin. You'll probably deal with Robin when you call Houston Powder Coaters. 281-676-3888 or HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
Blue Star Tequila, the world's first and only night-harvested tequila. This is tequila that's natural, unfiltered best, made with 100% blue agave and totally additive-free. Smooth, vibrant, and full of character. It's tequila the way it was meant to be. So whether you're chasing championships or celebrating the moment, raise your glass to bold beginnings and taste the Blue Star difference. Find it near you at BlueStarTequila.com.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code RADIO to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code RADIO for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code RADIO for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Drift Bar in the Heights.
Killer Bees broadcasting live from Drift Bar in the Heights. Awesome place. Rebecca just handed us an old-fashioned. Don't know where she went. Thank you, Rebecca.
Rebecca's working the table in the back right now, telling everybody about her new...
Very, very
whiskey.
Good. Gold Bar whiskey. Mm-hmm. I like the they come in a gold bar.
It's very cool.
Miniature ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are really cool. We come on out. You can sample it, too. You can sample some of that. You can sample some Carbless. You had Modelo out here. Patron is out here. Everybody is out here at Drift Bar in the Heights. The sun is coming out, too. So get off work early. Come on out here. Enjoy a beverage or two. Also, you'll be automatically entered to win Rangers Astros. They're having a raffle. You walk in the door, you get a raffle ticket, and you could potentially be going to Rangers Astros on the 11th of July. Power Slap tonight here at Drift Bar, UFC 317 tomorrow. A great time always had here. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. So the Astros have played 81 games. As we talk to you today, the Astros have played 81 games. They're 48-33, and they're 15 games above 500. On a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a surprise is that if I told you that you were 48-33 at the midway point at the start of the year?
Who's your guy?
Before injuries, the start of the year.
Who's your guy that did a 10? A 10? A 10? I'm stunned by how –
I forget his name. Varsity Blues, but yeah. I forget his name. The big lineman.
Yeah, I am absolutely stunned that they are this good. particularly because of all the injuries to both the pitching staff and the position players. The fact that you've played this entire season without Yordan and or without Yordan at his normal best, and then you look at 60% of the pitching staff, you look at the relief pitchers, including now Dubin's down, all the different ways that they've had to kind of quickly just go to plan B and C and D and find a way to now sit with this big of a lead in first place in the division. To me, I don't know how you can't give this team a 10 where they sit currently.
In terms of surprise, though,
yeah,
1 to 10.
I'm shocked.
I am too. And then if you throw in the injuries, it's even higher, right? Like, I wouldn't have guessed this team would be 15 games above 500 at the start of the season. If you told me at the start of the season that every single one of your starters except for Fromber and Hunter Brown is going to get hurt, Yordan's going to be a negative WAR player, be hurt, Jose Altuve a negative WAR player, Yiner flirting with a zero WAR, Christian Walker flirting with a zero WAR might even be negative. Yeah, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's a 500 team.
And keep going from there.
That's crazy.
You didn't know what to expect from Cam. You had no idea, right? And we knew how young he was, so the expectations were not high at all because of the fact that he'd never done this before at this level. And then you throw a Paredes in, who I know that they pursued in the past, but he didn't finish the season strong in Chicago last year with the Cubs. So you weren't sure, replacing Bregman, that he was going to be even worthy of being in that same conversation. And then when you look at Jake and Pena having these breakout years where we've seen in the past, we've had guys that have started off very good but always leveled out and came back down, particularly a Jake. Jake keeps going. Pena keeps going. We're looking at with Pena's WAR and where he sits currently, he's got to be in the top three in MVP conversations at the worst. And you go, did you see that coming? Because I certainly didn't.
Billy Bob. Billy Bob's the 10.
Oh.
He's a 10.
Got it.
A texter, to be honest, 8.5. I thought we'd fight for 500. How could you say 8.5 thought you'd fight for 500 and you're 15 games above? Like, that's a 10, I think. A texter, definitely a 10. Wow, can't believe how well they have done. Texter, I'm a season ticket holder for the Astros. I wear my Ryan Sandberg jersey to every game. I'm stoked the Cubs are in town, but to be honest, I don't care who wins. I'm just excited to see two good teams play each other. I don't care who wins. I just hope they have fun.
That is not going to be said by me. If you're a fan of both teams, have at it. But yeah.
All right. So the Killer Bees, we voted on the midseason MVP, midseason Cy Young, midseason best reliever, midseason comeback player of the year, midseason surprise, midseason disappointment.
Okay.
So let's just go by these one by one. For the MVP, we have Jeremy Pena winning it. Consensus. Jeremy Pena number one, Hunter Brown number two, and then there's a tie between Isak Paredes and Josh Hader for number three. So I bet we were unanimous on one and two. Mm-hmm. Did we all have Pena Brown 1-2?
I did.
Yes?
Yes.
Well, yes.
What's the hesitation?
Well, we only got one from Joel, but yeah.
Yeah, because we had internet problems earlier. But
oh,
yeah,
I got you. All right. And then so the tie in third between Isak and Paredes. I guess you had Isak.
Yeah, we flipped them.
And you had?
I had Hader.
I had Hader.
There's a lot of the nerd stats I look at that Josh Hader is like number one in win probability added. Sorry, I geeked out there, I know. But that's impressive to me.
Yeah, if I had to break the tie because I didn't vote, but I've just been all over the fact that Paredes has been a guy that I didn't expect to see this from. I had hoped it when we were talking about his pull percentage and the fact that, you know, he this park sets up nicely for him. I thought that he might have a season similar to Bregman had last year. But what he's been able to do this year, to me, I expect Hader, even when people thought he was a little off last year, was still really good. I didn't know what to expect of Paredes, and the fact that he's been that good has been fantastic.
All right, so Pena easily the MVP, though. It was unanimous there. For our, and look, these are kind of easy, I think. Our Cy Young voting, Hunter Brown finished first, Framber Valdez finished second, Josh Hader finished third. Was this unanimous as well?
That it should, yeah, mine was the only
one
missing.
Hunter,
but,
yeah, Hunter, yeah. It went Hunter, Framber, and then Hader.
Yep.
You and I both have the exact same.
So we didn't have any conflict here?
There. I don't either, no.
Okay. All right. So that one's easy. Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, Josh Hader, number three. Who would be fourth? If you
Abreu?
Had to vote on a fourth guy.
Abreu?
Abreu would be ahead of any other starter, you think?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I was kind of thinking Colton Gordon.
Aside from the saves, when you look at what Abreu has done with Hader, their earned run averages when they started this homestand were both at like a 1.83. I mean, he has basically mirrored and done everything as a setup guy that Hader has done to close the door in the ninth. I can't take that away from him. I'd put him fourth.
Yeah, Colton Gordon's been really stinking good, too. Like, it's interesting because we didn't do Rookie of the Year, but Colton Gordon's probably second there.
Oh, I mean, who else? who's in the conversation?
I mean, Melton was only here for a flash in the pan. Gusto would be in the mix.
Cam, obviously.
Cam would be one. Yeah. So who's number two, though?
I think it's Colton Gordon.
I think it's Gordon in a runaway.
Yeah. It has to, yeah.
Because Gusto would be third, I think.
Jason Alexander only pitched one game.
Yeah. I'm not sure he's – well, I don't
Does
know if
he qualifies as a rookie.
I'm not sure. Because he hasn't logged many innings in the bigs.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not real sure. I'd have to go back and see how many innings he's logged. He's like 80 years old, though. All right, so
– And Whitcomb, he got hurt, but Whitcomb had already played enough, right? I don't know how many games
no,
he played
No, I don't think he's
year.
Played enough.
Okay.
But he hadn't done anything.
No, yeah.
So, like, he would be in the pool, but wouldn't be in the conversation, per se. All right, best reliever. The consensus was Hader 1, Abreu 2, and Okert 3. There's no doubt about 1 and 2. 1 and 2 are easy. Three. I think that the first time you have, like, an actual question here is who should be third. Because there are some guys, that I think, that are in the mix for number 3. Like, I struggle between Okert and King.
I was going to say, King's in the mix. He's had a couple of hiccups lately. But King would be in the mix for sure with Okert. Sousa's been really good lately, too. He's picked it up. But I think the conversation for 3 is a two-man race between those two guys.
Yeah, I think if we'd had this vote, 3 weeks ago, King's the third, right?
Probably.
But he's had a few blow-ups. I think it's about close to a run differential right now in ERA between the two, isn't it?
Okert's also got touched a little bit more recently, too. Like, a month ago, Okert was, like, the leader in reliever whip, you know? But, like, he's gotten hit a little bit since then. So I think it's close between Okert and King, but I still gave the nod to Okert.
And the thing is, too, you could say if you want to nitpick it and go, well, for most of the year, King was your seventh inning guy. So normally your best relievers are 7, 8, 9. So you could put King in the mix. But then I think that it was probably because they didn't know what to expect from Okert at the start of the season. And every time they threw him out there, he was dealing.
713-780-ESPN. So Okert is there. Comeback player of the year. Was this unanimous with McCullers? We have McCullers number 1.
Yeah, you and I both had a number 1.
And then Pena and Myers were tied for second. I think I went Myers too, didn't I? Yeah, I went Myers too, so you went Pena too.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue.
Yeah, I would put Jake simply because I expected less of Jake than I did of Pena. But you can't go wrong with either guy because I didn't expect either one of these guys at this point in the season at the midway mark to be as good as they are and consistently still staying there.
Yeah, I can see the argument both ways. I went Myers. But I could also say, well, yeah, it was a bigger shock that Myers is where he's at, but the gap between Pena and Myers is large, you know?
Yeah.
Like Pena's top 3 war. Jake Myers is in top 10 war. So that would be a good argument.
Yeah, it's based on individual performance as opposed to league-wide. Because league-wide, it's a landslide. Pena's year is just competing with the best in the American League. Jake, it's just from what he's shown you in his entire Astros career, this has been an unbelievable season.
Surprise player of the year, we had Myers 1, McCullers 2, and Pena 3. So I think that was unanimous, too, with the surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had Lance first.
Instead of Myers?
Yeah. And then Joel, you both had Jake Myers.
And then disappointment of the year.
I mean, that's
Yordan 1, Walker 2, Yiner 3.
It was unanimous.
That was unanimous in that order, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I struggled. I wanted to put Christian Walker first, just because of the fact that, again, much like Paredes, no matter what they've done in the from Paredes' standpoint, it didn't matter what he'd done in the past. I felt like he was going to fit here. From a Walker standpoint, I'm like, if he's just the guy he was in Arizona, and maybe he's got a little bit more friendly confines, if you will, to be able to hit even better, I expected big things from him. So that's why the disappointment has been almost greater for me with Walker, because of the fact that injuries are going to happen. I thought Walker as a baseball player was going to excel here, and he just hasn't.
Yeah, that's a pretty big 3 list, too. Like, those are all major disappointments. Like, they've all been major disappointments. Yiner might not be major. Maybe he's a little bit more mild disappointment. But Yordan has been a major disappointment. Injury, so, like, a lot of it is out of his own control. Walker's 100% in his own control because he hasn't missed games. Maybe rushed back too soon from the oblique. But it's amazing that they're where they're at and had this lead into the second-best team in the American League, and they've had disappointments from Yordan, Walker, and Yiner. That's where the optimism comes into play, actually.
No
because
doubt.
If those guys, if those three guys are just not not even playing towards their ceiling, if those three guys just aren't disappointments in the second half, it can really take the offense to another level.
That's why I've said even if they don't make a move, and I anticipate that they'll make at least one or two, but I even if they don't make a move at the trade deadline, you believe that the guys you're getting back, both offensively and from a pitching perspective, put you in an unbelievably good position if the rest of your guys continue to perform. But to the point you made earlier in the year when we were having this discussion about the guys that are excelling like Jake and Pena, and then losing a guy like Tucker, and Pena's numbers kind of cross cancels out Tucker, and then you go from there. Like Paredes' numbers were really good at third to cancel out what Bregman did last year, and then you go from there. I think the yin and the yang of this is you take the guys that have underachieved, like Walker and Yiner and Yordan, and say that the guys that have overachieved is Cam Smith, who I don't know what you expected, but I think now he's looking like a guy that maybe he's overachieving from what you might have thought his first year would be. And then with Jake and Pena, you're like, that's where the counterbalance comes into why this team has been able to maintain where they're at.
Cam's kind of been who I thought.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he would get there. I just didn't know if it would be until this. I didn't know if it was going to be this season, because I expected him to struggle early. I thought they might come to a point where they would send him down to kind of settle down.
Oh, I never thought that.
And then he picked it up, and once he picked it up, he started running with it.
I would say the defense has been better than I would have thought. I would say I expected more power but less average.
That's
so
fair.
Like in the whole, like I kind of expected this type of production. Like maybe a little bit different, like little, you know, like I said, a little less average, a little more power, but no, I expected Cam to have this type of impact. I didn't expect him to be hitting in the middle of the order, because I expected, you know, Yordan, Walker, and Yiner to be better, and they haven't been. But I'm expecting.
Yeah, a kid that basically hadn't scratched the surface in minor league baseball yet, coming out of Florida State, and just thrust into this position because of the fact that they were, you know, desperately looking for outfield help, got thrown into the position he was thrown into. I honestly did not expect this from him this year. I thought he would struggle early. I thought he'd settle down a little bit, but I did not expect this kind of production and the way he's picked it up and carried it once he got going.
Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Josh, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, obviously from Philadelphia, but there's a couple things I just want to, like, I guess.
We lose him?
Oh, we lose Josh? Shame. Josh from Philly.
But,
There he goes.
Yeah, after listening, I've listened to I listen to you guys all the way from John all the way to Dale, all of you. Anyway, where I'm getting at with this is that I know that when we were talking about Altuve and left field and all that prior in spring training, we were talking about the Bregman talking this and that. No one had high hopes for the Astros. We thought we were all going to be a sub 500 or maybe 500 team. Then we're a 500 team, and we're talking maybe 2 months ago about how winning games, where our offense is terrible, but we're still skating away to winning games, and now we're, 15 games ahead in the division right now. My question is where would you guys pinpoint the success that the Astros are having right now? Because
bullpen, I do love me from a spotter. I know Jeremy Pena's been playing so great right now, but with baseball being the sport it is,
Wait, Josh, breaking up a little bit, but I think we get the gist of the call. Appreciate the call, Josh. Thanks for listening. You're breaking up there a little bit, so just couldn't keep the connection.
So essentially,
what is the biggest reason why? I think is what he was saying.
So if just to use kind of just a team analogy, I think it's the role players. I think it's the guys that aren't supposed to be your stars that have kind of picked it up and carried it for you. From the guys that came up from Sugar Land that you expected nothing from, that have been able to deliver, particularly with the pitching staff, from the guys that you knew nothing about, like Cam Smith that we mentioned, and then the guys that have done something that they hadn't done yet as an Astro, when you look at what Pena and Jake have been able to do, that I think that's the reason why. Every button that, whether it's Espada or Dana has pushed, every guy that they've called on, whether it be in a small dose or in a larger sample size, they have stepped up in a big, big way when guys like Yordan and Yiner, through injury and lack of production early, were struggling. You had guys that picked up the slack, and I think that's why.
I think it's the pitching and the defense. And, like, some of the pitching, there have been role players there, so, like, it kind of maybe meshes the reasoning why. But, like, Fromber and Hunter have carried you, and then the back end with Hader and Abreu have closed what they carried, like, how they've carried you. And then the defense has been a lot better. Like, that's the whole, like, thing that, you know, people are losing their minds. What are they doing moving Altuve to left field? If you watch five games that Hunter Brown and Fromber Valdez pitch and you see the middle infield defense between Pena and Dubon, you should no longer have that question. Mauricio Dubon is an elite defensive second baseman, and you put that behind a ground ball pitcher and then a solid to good defender at shortstop, that's why their team defense has gone up so much and their infield defense has gone up so much. I think it's been a lot of fun to watch. I would also push back on Josh saying everybody thought this would be a 500 team.
We didn't.
I think you did, too. Well, we had them winning the American League West.
I think all three of us. I don't remember for sure, Brian.
Brian usually hates the Astros.
But I thought for sure you and I said that they were going to win the division. Didn't know by how much. I didn't think it was going to be a runaway. But I definitely had them winning the division, not a 500 team by any stretch of the imagination. And the other thing, I caught part of the morning show this morning talking about the fact that either John or Lance said Dubon was their best defender. I mean, if you're sleeping on Jeremy Peña in my mind, then that's okay. Then that's on you. Because you can go to the plays that make SportsCenter, but overall, just Jeremy Peña's play at shortstop has been really, really good for this team.
I think they're talking about stats. Because Dubon's like defensive metrics are the best on the team. I'm not sure where he stacks up with Myers, but it's the best infielder on the team. Like Dubon, the last I looked, Dubon was like 9 outs above average, and Peña was 3, I think it was. Dubon earlier this week, and this was like 2 days ago, so I'm sure it's still very high. Dubon was number 1 in baseball at second base and outs above average.
But how long? I mean, how many games has he played at second base, too?
About half, but it's a counting stat, so it's even more impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think that I get very frustrated with how many people, and we've gotten in it with people that listen, that use social media, that sleep on how good Jeremy Peña's defense is. And, you know, last night, I think it was yesterday, the play that he made, he dove, was a Trey Turner that he dove behind second base in the late innings and made another play. The Jeter jump was phenomenal that he did last week. But just so many, from his arm to his glove to his speed and his range, I get frustrated how many people don't give him enough credit as a really good defender.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's a really good defender.
In my mind, I think he's the best. I think he's the best defender on the team. And Jake would be in that conversation too.
Jake would be ahead of Peña for me. It's hard to compare a second baseman to a shortstop, right? Because like you know, outs above average for a second baseman, I think are a little bit easier than outs above average for a shortstop because usually better defenders play shortstop. Sometimes you can hide an average middle infielder at second base. So like Dubon, Peña, who's the greater defender? I think if you put both of them at shortstop, I'd rather have Peña than Dubon. But Dubon's defense at second base cannot be ignored. So, like, I back up what you're saying about Peña, but I'm not going to put down Dubon. I think they're accurate about Dubon's prowess.
Well, you brought it up the other day. As a duo.
Yeah, I love it.
And you go back and take it to the start of the season when people were questioning moving Altuve and wondering how big of a difference this could make. When you see both of those guys together on the field, outs against
– Oh, it's fun.
Oh, it's – you know, because Dubon's got an arm. It's like, not just his range and his glove, but his arm – couple of times in the last week or so where he's had to charge one way or far to his right and then be able to pirouette spin and still make a solid throw to first base, and he does it with ease.
Yeah, how could you watch – if you watch 3 starts combined of either Fromber or Hunter Brown, just watch 3 of their starts any point of the season with Dubon playing second base and then clamor that you want Altuve at second base again. How could you do that? Like anybody who that's why I think some people are casuals. Like if you legitimately watch 3 games where Hunter Brown or Framber Valdez pitch from start to finish with Dubon playing second base and you're still saying after that game you want Altuve defensively at second base, I know you did not watch the game. Watch the game.
What I didn't expect, but I expect weak throws. But the throwing error last week, the fact that his range is severely limited, you just look at Altuve, he's not the player that he once was. But even when he was the player he once was defensively, I don't think he was ever an above-average second baseman like you're seeing right now when these two guys are on the field together.
Yeah, the middle infield's fun to watch. It's like old-school baseball. Like you get a ground ball pitcher, that defense behind him, I think that's the biggest reason for their success. Techs are crazy to think the Astros will have a should-be Cy Young winner, should-be manager of the year, top 3 rookie of the year finisher, and top 3 MVP candidate. If Hunter Brown wins – actually, if Hunter Brown finishes top 3 in Cy Young, the Astros get an extra draft pick.
That's
because
beautiful.
Of the whole, like, you know, incentive to call players up early. Cam Smith has to win rookie of the year. It's different for MVP Cy Young than it is rookie of the year. If you finish top 3, you get a compensation pick. In MVP Cy Young, you get a pick if you win rookie of the year. Outright, but maybe Cam Smith will make a run at that as well. I also think it's a fair take to call a spot of the manager of the year in the American League.
Oh, I agree.
Because from what he's had to endure with the injuries and all that stuff, like I think Hinch has done a great job too, and I don't watch Detroit as closely as I watch the Astros. I have a hard time imagining the Tigers have had the injuries, especially to critical players, that the Astros have had. I believe a spot at the midway point is the manager of the year in the American League.
See, to me, it's – taking what happened last year and then taking this year, the Tigers sweeping the Astros, the Tigers making the run. Everybody's anticipation was you added Flaherty, you added some guys to a very good young team with AJ, and the expectation was they would continue to rise. The fact that the Astros, if it's one thing to say, hey, the Astros made it last year, and then to expect what they did this year, but because of the injury factor, both with the pitching staff and with all the guys in the lineup and the guys that are underachieving that have been there in the lineup, I think Espada, to me, is right there with A.J. Hinch. And I think if you told me that Joe Espada would win it, I would have no problem with it.
I think Hinch is a better manager. I think Espada has done a better job.
That's fair.
This year. Texter, does an Altuve have a gold glove? Yes, in 2015. Like, because you won a gold glove 10 years ago doesn't mean you're a good defender now. Like,
right.
What is Yadier Molina up to? Like, can he still hose some guys from behind
the
dish?
The World Baseball Classic?
Yeah, I think that is right. He is doing that, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because you won a gold glove 10 years ago doesn't mean you're still a good defender. You know who else won a gold glove more recently than Altuve and I think has dropped off defensively? Brendan Rodgers.
Brendan Rodgers, yep.
Like, he's still fine defensively, but he's not an elite defender.
That's right.
Peña doesn't get the credit because he doesn't have Correa's cannon, which almost no one has, so not necessarily fair, says St. Patrick. His arm does grade out to below average relative to the rest of Major League
Dubon?
Baseball. No, Peña.
Oh, Peña?
Peña's like in the 25th percentile in arm value.
I'll tell you what, I didn't think he had the arm strength by any means that Correa had, but that deep Jeter jump deep in the hole, the minute it happened, I thought his arm strength is not going to get that ball there, and the fact that he was able to get that ball there, it may be rated as such, but I think when he needs to, he can get it there with plenty of zip on it.
I think there's times where he makes missed throws too, so like it brings down his arm value. Like he'll make some throwing errors. I don't know the separation of throwing errors, fielding errors, but I feel like when Peña makes errors, they're more with the arm or pulling like Walker off the bag or even like relays. Like I don't think he's the most accurate. Peña sometimes makes mistakes, but he's an elite talented shortstop, as good as anyone else in the league. I wouldn't go elite. I think he's more second tier. I don't think he's as rangy as the elite defensive shortstops. I think he's in that second tier, still really good, but I wouldn't give him elite range, and he doesn't have an elite arm.
Is Bobby Witt Jr. at the top of the list?
Bobby Witt's really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's really
arm
good.
And range and glove, Bobby Witt Jr.'s top of my list.
And it's not like picking on Peña. Again, I'm calling Peña a really good to great defender. I'm just not calling him elite.
No. And you know what? From a range perspective, the kid from here that plays shortstop for St. Louis, is Wynn?
Oh, yeah. Mason Wynn.
Wynn is really
Mason
good.
Mason Wynn. Yep. He's from Kingwood.
Yeah.
The livable forest. That's where Brian Livable's in that forest. 713-780-ESPN. We mentioned Hunter Brown as the Astros Cy Young to this point of the year. I would go further than that. I believe that Hunter Brown is the best pitcher in baseball over the first half of the year, and I got some evidence to back it up. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Are you looking to escape the rat race for the weekend, the hustle and bustle of the job? Of course you are. You want to get away from stress. You want to get away from the anxiety that's plaguing your life. Well, I have the best idea for you. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You can escape the city. You don't have to travel too far to get there as well. Enjoy the relaxing great outdoors and book that stay right now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. From the open green spaces to beautiful wildlife to the majestic trees that you don't find in the Houston area. Also, some of the best fishing in Texas. You can't beat it, whether you're fishing in the Two Creeks or whether you're fishing in the catch and release pond for the kiddos. It's also just 90 minutes from Houston. You can get there like that. You can escape the city without traveling too far to Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You're not loading up the car for a five-hour trek. You're not worrying about airports and TSA and kids on airplane seats. That's annoying. You don't have to do that. Hike on the 92 acres of property they have out there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Kayak the water. Play pickleball on their pickleball courts. They'll have a pool for you as well. They have a bar there that you can get a drink as well. Two Creeks Crossing Resort also takes care of their customers and always looking of ways to do it. In fact, the two nights that we were there, they had a food truck on both nights. They had some live music on a Saturday night. Branham family really enjoyed our time at Two Creeks Crossing, and we're looking forward to going back very soon. From the glamping to the cabins, pull up the RV. We stayed in the treehouse. Perfect stay for everybody. And right now, incredible savings going on. June and July, booked five nights, and you save 35%. So make sure you book that stay now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.